From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In gambling terms, you might say this week was the one that President Obama doubled down on his effort to push a health care overhaul through Congress. The president essentially said it's time for action instead of debate. And in a sign of compromise, he embraced some ideas promoted by the GOP. Republicans, however, were not impressed. For a look at possible implications of this healthcare standoff, I'm joined by E.J. Dion of The Washington Post and Brookings Institution, and Raihan Salam, a blogger at National Review and a fellow at the New America Foundation. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Good Thanks to be with you. Us.
Raihan, I'm going to start with you. The White House this week was talking like this was the healthcare home stretch, the final stretch. President Obama said he'd do everything in his power to get this done. Can the Republicans stop him?
I think that the Republicans aren't going to stop him, but it can be stopped by some reluctant Democrats. There might be about six of those Democrats who voted against the House health bill the first time around who could be persuaded. But among that larger group of House Democrats who voted against it, there are lots of them who still have serious reservations and lots of them who have real political liabilities that would make it very hard for them to go along with the health reform push right now.
EJ, is the president sensitive enough to those liabilities that those Democrats face?
I think he's sensitive, but I think he's making a right call. I think passing the health care bill helps the party far, far more than it hurts the party, which is why I think it's going to pass. It shows they can govern after a messy year in which people began to doubt that. And some have said Obama's not tough enough, not enough of like LBJ was in pushing through his program. I think he's helping himself and his party by finally going on the offensive, answering the Republicans and saying clearly, there are some things and some causes I'll fight for, and affordable health care is one of them.
In answering the Republicans, he did, as we said, reach out and embrace some of the proposals that they had put forth. However, John Boehner said you can't add a couple of Republican sprinkles on top of a 2,700-page bill and call it bipartisan. Is there anything more he can or should do?
No. I don't think there's a thing he can do to get Republicans right now. The health care bill already, even before Obama put his sprinkles on, to use Mr. Boehner's metaphor, already had a lot of other Republican ideas. This bill looks most like a bill put forward by former Senator John Chafee, the late Senator John Chafee, a moderate Republican back in the mid-90s. This is a market-oriented bill. You can't get more Republican than this bill is without becoming a Republican.
Raihan, do you agree with that? Because many Republicans say that he's not doing enough to inject free market principles into this proposal.
I actually don't agree with that, and I think that it's certainly true that there were some moderate Republicans who backed a similar proposal a while ago, but of course we've learned quite a lot since then. One of the things we've learned is that the so-called doc fix, the sustainable growth rate part of Medicare, is actually very, very expensive. It's very expensive to fix. And in the past, we've offset that. And this time around, we're not offsetting it. And that creates lots of big unaccounted for costs that a lot of Republicans and Democrats, I might add, are very concerned about. And so I think that there are a lot of Republicans and, again, lots of Democrats who are worried about creating a new health entitlement when we have a variety of other entitlements that we've had a very hard time restraining. So there are some good aspects to this bill, but there are some ones that are causing a lot of consternation as well, not just among conservatives.
We're going to turn to another subject in just a minute. But first, since we're talking about the implications of potential long-term implication. Is it possible that right now in Washington, where we, meaning the media, but also the people who are involved in this healthcare debate, are so focused on the debate itself that people don't really understand the potential long-term implications in terms of cost and in terms of what this new overhaul would really look like?
Well, I don't think the Democrats have done a very good job of selling this bill, and I think a lot of the country has looked at what has been a very, at times, ugly process and concluded that what was produced by it can't be very good. I think one of the reasons it's so important for the Democrats to pass this bill is that they're stuck with all their votes for it already, and those are going to be used against them. If they get this proposal, they can begin to talk about all of the components in it that the same polls show are very popular with people. And then people can make a judgment in November.
Ryan, I want to turn to the jobs numbers that came out today. They were not as bad as expected. We didn't see that blizzard effect that many were bracing for. There was some relief because the numbers weren't as bad as they thought. But is the administration doing enough on jobs, to your estimation? And what about the Senate? Will the Senate pass the jobs bill that the House has approved? And will that ultimately make a difference in lifting up the economy?
I think it's fairly likely that we'll see some jobs bill passed, and I think it's fairly unlikely that it will have a substantial effect on spending and on employment. Because when you're looking at a lot of these tax credit proposals, the truth is that most of the money is going to go to folks who are already going to hire regardless. And I think the president's own proposal was somewhat better on that front than the proposals that we're seeing coming out of Congress. But I think that overall, you know, the truth is that this is actually a very, very murky terrain. And if you look at this month's job numbers, you noted that, you know, we might not have seen much effect from the various blizzards. The thing is, we could have seen a big effect. We just don't really know. What we do know is when you're looking at those job numbers, it's important to look at other little telltale signs. For example, the fact that we continue to see losses of construction jobs might actually be a good sign that our economy is shifting away from one area that actually isn't going to have a lot of long-term growth potential. You also see a spike in temporary jobs, which is potentially a sign that there are some employers who are gently dipping a toe in and who might be ready to make permanent hires a few months down the road. So I think of that as somewhat good news.
We don't have a lot of time, but I just want both of you to react to something that surfaced this week, this Republican memo that shows that the party is using fear of Barack Obama, worries about socialism, to pump up fundraising and to help rally the base, something that they rolled out at an event in February to high-dollar funders. Is this, as distasteful as some might say, this is a smart move by the party to rally their base, or is this the kind of mudslinging that could fly back and taint the party?
It's so distasteful that even the Republicans have apologized for it. I mean, it's a really ugly thing. And in some ways, the worst part of this memo is the kind of insult to the Republican base. It really does not treat their own supporters with any respect at all.
Ryan?
I think that this is classic politics. I think it is incredibly distasteful. And I think that that's the reason why lots of folks are concerned about giving more power to Washington, D.C., because the truth is that, well, there are lots of political professionals who have nothing but contempt for average citizens.
And classic distasteful, you say, but will it work?
Will it work? Unfortunately, I think that it tends to work for both sides to gin up fear of the other side in your base supporters. We've seen it happen for many, many decades, and it only seems to be getting worse.
I noticed that Raheem wanted to quickly move away from the Republican Party and blame this on Washington. This is a Republican mailer. A lot of Republicans have been saying quite ugly things.
The name's Raihan, not Raheem.
God bless you. I'm sorry. But this, I don't think this can work now because it's been discredited, and I think we agree entirely that this kind of approach to politics is disrespectful and a very bad idea.
Thanks to both of you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks.
That's Raihan Salam. He's a blogger at National Review and a fellow at the New America Foundation, and E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and the Brookings Institution.